We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
All right, so we've been sharing in the Gospels. Basically, we're just going through the Gospel of Luke, and we're sharing on the life of Jesus. And the great thing about the life of Jesus is, as you go through the Gospels and as you talk about Jesus and what he did and what he said, you cover every aspect of the Christian walk throughout the whole Bible, really. Jesus, every topic that you can think of, from healing to blessing to prosperity to deliverance to freedom to worship to prayer, it's all in there in the Gospels. And so I've been enjoying teaching from these Wednesday night services, and I'm learning myself as we go through it. So let's pick up where we really left off last week. Let's just refresh from last week. Let's start in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. And tonight we're going to hopefully make it through the end of this chapter. We'll see if we actually accomplish that or not. But it says there in Luke chapter 20, "Then he lifted up his eyes toward the disciples and said, 'Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh.'" Now, what I really like about this, and this was what we talked about last week to a degree, is that he says, "Blessed are you poor." And then he says, "Blessed are you who hunger now," and then he says, "Blessed who you who weep now," right? No, that's what partially what he said, but he doesn't say, "Blessed are you hungry," or "Blessed are you poor because you're going to remain poor." He doesn't say, "Blessed are you who hunger because you're going to remain hungry." He doesn't say, "Blessed are you who weep because you're going to continue weeping," right? That's not at all what the gospel is about. He says, "Blessed are you poor because yours is the kingdom of God." The same kingdom of God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in. The same kingdom of God that King David operated. The same kingdom of God that the apostles operated. All, the kingdom of God is the same for all of us, and we get to partake of this kingdom of God. And the thing is, when you enter the kingdom of God and you become a steward in the kingdom of God and begin to operate in the financial principles as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, you become blessed. And I think primarily many people come, or most people, when they come first to the gospel and they get saved and they start coming to church, the majority of the time they don't come as millionaires. There's, you know, one of our the churches that we visit is a church in Texas, phenomenal church, and they have many, from what I've talked to the pastor about, many millionaires in their church. But he said almost none of them came to the church as a millionaire. But they came, they became children of the kingdom of God, and they became blessed because of it. So many times people might come to the kingdom and they're poor, but the good news is that when you come, you don't have to remain poor. So Jesus said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are poor, because you don't have to stay poor anymore, because you have access to the kingdom of God." Now, does anyone think that there's anything lacking in the kingdom of God? No. So Jesus, he's coming, and he finds these people that they're looking for, the Israelites at this time, they're looking for someone to reestablish the kingdom of Israel as it was basically in King David's day, because they're under Roman occupation. They're not free. They're actually having to pay taxes to the Romans, and they're serving the Roman Empire. And so Jesus comes, and they think that he's going to set them free and that from the Romans, and that they're going to have this earthly kingdom, and that they're going to be blessed. But what he gave them was a far greater blessing. He said, "You don't need to be free of the kingdom of the Romans, because as you become a member of the kingdom of God, no matter what kingdom you belong to, no matter what kingdom you're in, whether you find yourself a slave or whether yourself you find yourself free, whether you find yourself poor, or whether you find yourself rich, hungry, thirsty, full, whatever your case is, you now belong to the kingdom of God, and you will be blessed. You might be weeping now, but you're now a child of God. You've become a member of the kingdom of God, and you no longer need to weep. You can laugh. You can laugh. We can laugh at the face of destruction, at sickness and disease, at poverty, at destruction and famine. You shall laugh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and then if you look at verse 21, it says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled." If you look at the same verse from the teaching in Matthew, where in Matthew's gospel, where they were teaching, where Jesus was teaching on the Beatitudes, it's those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It's this same principle being taught there, but he adds hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I really like that. I like that. If no one here can determine the level of how hungry I am. I decide, and that's why, you know, some people, they'll come to church and they'll stagger out of the service full of the Holy Spirit, full of the presence of God, can barely contain themselves, and they're just like, that was the best service in the world, regardless of what happened in the service, the preaching, whatever, maybe it was great, maybe it was mediocre, they're walking out blessed. And then there's some people that come, and it could be the best service, the best sermon you've ever heard, and they walk out drier than they came in. Why is that? Because you determine the level of hunger that you're in. And you know, I mean, Charles Finney, I love to talk about Charles Finney. He shook this region in the Second Great Awakening, and he had this encounter with God out in the woods. I mean, it wasn't in a church service. There wasn't a preacher there doing an altar call. He was a lawyer, and he began to study God's Word, and he was actually first ashamed of the fact that he was studying God's Word, because he grew up around religion, and he didn't want anything to do with it, and so he didn't want even his friends to know that he was reading the Bible. But the thing was, the law used to be in this nation established on the law of God's Word. This was the legal book for not just for churches, but for actually the nation. This is where the nation established its laws from. So lawyers used to have to study the Word in order to understand where the laws are coming from. And so Finney began to study the law because he would read about it in his studies to become a lawyer, and he would actually hide the book because, like, look, I mean, I have this nice thin Bible, but if you've ever seen a Bible from the 1800s, it's like 26 of these in one. I mean, the letters are, there's like two words on a page. They're massive. But so he would try and hide it. But as he began to read the Word of God, he began to see that what he was being taught in churches was not what was being taught in the book of the law or in the Word of God. And so he began to get hungry for the real things of God. And he started hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and he finds himself going out to the woods so that nobody else would know where he was, so that, you know, no one would be around him. And he starts shouting out to God, and he's out there for hours, and he went out there when it was light, and he comes back way after dark, and he just got wrecked out in the woods. So it doesn't matter where you're at. You could be out in the woods, you could be in a church service, but you determine the level of hunger that you have. Amen? I love that. All right. And then he says here, "Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you." Now, I don't know if you've ever been hated on before, but it doesn't feel like you're being very blessed when you're hated, right? Now, this isn't just talking about any old situation where just any time you experience some hate from people that you're actually blessed because of that. What he says, what he goes on to say is, "Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile and you and cast out your name as evil." Why? For the Son of Man's sake. For the Son of Man's sake. What does that mean? For Jesus' sake. For the sake of the gospel. So how is someone going to revile you? How is someone going to hate you? How is someone going to exclude you for the Son of Man's sake if they don't even know that you belong to the Son of Man? How are they going to exclude you and revile you and hate you if they don't know that you're a Christian? So Jesus here is implying that you're blessed Because you're being hated for my sake, for the sake of the gospel. The only way that you should be, and the reason I'm sharing this is because people think that they're blessed because they're being persecuted for any old reason. If I go out on the 390 and I'm driving like a complete moron, and I start swerving in front of other cars, and I start tailgating people, and I start driving 30 in a 65, and people are driving by and flipping me the bird and shaking their fist at me and yelling at me, I'm not being persecuted for the Son of Man's sake, right? I'm being persecuted because I'm driving like an idiot, right? Okay, but this is what Christians do, is they think that any time somebody doesn't like them, they think that any time that they're suffering from something, that they're being persecuted, and that persecution is part of God's teaching you, is part of the blessing, is part of being a Christian. No. The only time that you're blessed for being persecuted is when it's for the Son of Man's sake, is when it's for Jesus' sake, because you've talked to people about Jesus and they didn't want to hear about him, so now they exclude you, so now they hate you, and maybe you've experienced that before where you've told people that you're a Christian and that you love Jesus and that he changed my life, and then they no longer wanted to talk to you. And then they no longer invited you out anymore, and you realize that you've become two very different people. That is what this is talking about, is when, for the sake of the gospel, you suffer persecution and people exclude you. Not just because you're an idiot, all right? And not just because you're suffering, not just because people don't like you for one reason or another. Maybe people don't like you because you're unlikable. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you automatically become likable. You can be a Christian, and all you ever do is talk about me and my problems, right? Just because you're a Christian does not exempt you from people not liking you because of that, right? You can be a Christian and not wear deodorant. You can be a Christian and not shower, and people will not like you because of that. It has nothing to do with the sake of the gospel. It has to do with the fact that you stink, right? So people get all spiritual about this stuff. But really, the only way that we should be persecuted is because of the preaching of the gospel. And this might be better for the people that are listening to the recording than anyone actually sitting here. But I get messages. I talk to people outside of this church that try to argue with me, that literally want to talk to me about why we should be persecuted. And I'm like, sure, yes, we should be persecuted for the sake of preaching the gospel, for the Son of Man's sake. Not for the sake of you just being stupid and stinking and smelling and being a moron and talking about yourself nonstop and so on and so forth. Amen? Right. So Christianity does not mean that you just get to blame all your problems on the fact that you're a Christian. And that's what a lot of people do. I'm suffering because I'm Christian. No, you're not. You're stupid. So... Look, Christians, we get spiritual about stuff, and we think that everything is spiritual. Some stuff is. Some stuff's not. Washing your clothes and taking a shower is not spiritual. It's just good hygiene, right? So, obviously, I mean, that's just a simple example, but it goes on to different, you know, levels of complexity. But understand that if you are not being likable as a Christian, it's not necessarily the devil persecuting you or whatever. Let's just move on. All right. So it goes on in verse 24, and we talked about this last week, but woe to you, which woe just means warning. Warning to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophet. And we shared about this last week for some time, where you have to understand the context of Jesus, the whole gospel, we have to understand the concept of that, the context. And if you go through the Gospel of Luke, you see multiple times, and in Matthew and in different Gospels, multiple times where Jesus is talking to rich people who have their heart after riches, and those are the rich people that Jesus is talking to. We talked about the rich man and Lazarus, who Lazarus was a poor beggar man with diseases sitting outside of the rich man's house, and the rich man did nothing about it. And when the rich man went to hell, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. That's where the old saints used to go until Jesus came and died on the cross. But that was an example of Jesus saying that you need to not just pursue riches. Look, we talk about prosperity here all the time. We talk about blessing here all the time. But if that's your heart's motive, to just get rich for the sake of getting rich and for taking care of yourself, then you're wrong. You have wrong motives. I'm all for prosperity, but the Bible says, Jesus even said it in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these things shall be added to you. So you have to check yourself. Am I seeking first the riches and then the kingdom of God? Am I seeking first to be wealthy and then, like, in my spare time, when I'm feeling up to it, I go to church, and when in my spare time, when I'm feeling like it, I might put something in the offering? Or is it, am I seeking first to please the kingdom of God? Am I seeking first God and hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Or am I seeking first myself and the things? I'm all for things. There's so many things that I want to have that I don't currently have that I'm going to have soon. But if my heart isn't right for seeking God first, then those things will never come to me from God. I might be able to get them in and of myself. I can go out and pursue wealth and become successful in and of myself without necessarily the blessing of God. And people, sometimes Christians sometimes get confused because they're like, well, why is it that there's sinners out there that have lots of money? Because that's what they're pursuing. They're working hard for it. They're not lazy like half of Christians. They're actually going out, they're starting businesses, they're figuring out, how can I get those things that I want? So if you want to get wealthy the Christian way, you have to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these blessings will come upon you. And the thing about the blessings of the kingdom is God says that he will give you blessings with no sorrow. So there's a difference between wealth and riches with sorrow and wealth and riches without sorrow. You want to know what that comes to in reality? Wealth and riches is with sorrow is when you start making millions of dollars, but your wife's cheating on you. Wealth with sorrow is when you start making lots of money and you're successful, but you're addicted to drugs because you just hate your life and the circumstances around you. Wealth and with sorrow is when you become a billionaire and then you commit suicide. It makes no sense. But wealth and riches without sorrow, with the blessing of God, is where I've made these riches righteously. Because I love God so much that he's blessed me, and I'm a blessing to everyone else around me, and these riches and these things don't have an attachment to my heart. But I just simply love God so much, and I'm putting his principles to action in my life, that I can be a blessing to my family, to my church, to those around me, that everywhere I go, I can be a blessing to people. That is wealth and riches without sorrow. So there's a difference, and that's what Jesus is really talking about. He's saying, woe to the rich people, warning to the rich people who are just in it for themselves. So there is a difference. And then verse 26, warning to you or woe to you when all men speak well of you. Look, here's the thing. If people in the world speak well of you, there could potentially be some problems there. If you were to go sit down, what's his name, Jenner? Caitlyn Jenner? Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner, if you were to go sit down with him for an hour and tell him all that you believe about the gospel and all that you believe about Christianity and all that God's doing in your life, and you spill the whole beans about all that you believe in Christianity and the gospel, and when you leave that table, he says, you're my kind of guy. You're my kind of gal. I think that you're great. I think that what you're preaching is awesome. You're probably in for some trouble. Because that's what this is talking about, when all men speak well of you. When people, because there's certain people that are just in sin, and they're stuck in sin, and in reality they want to get out of sin, but most of the time, most of the people around here that don't go to church because they hate religion. And I don't blame half of them for it, because they've grown up in some stodgy church where they didn't actually learn about the blessings of God, where they didn't learn about the freedom of the Holy Ghost, where they didn't learn about the gifts of the Spirit and that we can be better off as Christians. They just hate church because most churches just make your life suck even more. But if you actually believe this gospel, And you sit down with a worldly person. So there's a difference between someone who's just a sinner because they don't know any better. And then there's someone who actually opposes the gospel, who's actually working against the things of God, who actually know God and hate him. And if you were to sit down with a worldly person like that and they just think that you're that you're just fantastic, well then, hey, warning to you, you might have something in your life that you need to check up on. If I can just go to the pub down the street and begin just, you know, sit down at the bar, start taking drinks with them, party with them, and just by the end of the conversation, they just think that I'm the greatest dude in town. Like, man, where have you been my whole life? I'm just thankful that we can be buddies now. And we walk out drunk and we're just like, you know, I get maybe into a bar fight and he's just like, wow, man, that was great. You really sock it to him. And like, he thinks well of me because of that. Warning to you is what Jesus is saying. You don't just get to live however you want and then just think that you're going to be blessed. No, he's saying, warning to you, when men in the world, when all men think well of you. All right? And so I kind of wanted to talk about all of that last week, but I didn't really get time to go into all of those details. But that's basically, to some degree, what we were talking about last week. Now let's move into new territory, new ground, starting in verse 27 here in Luke chapter 6 for tonight. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Now, this is a pretty high standard of living. And this is what we're striving towards, but it doesn't mean that we're there yet. Because I promise you, if one of you came up and socked me right in the cheek, I promise you I will not turn my other cheek to you. I know that Jesus said it, and I know that I probably should do it. But I'm just going to warn you, I'm not at that level yet. More than likely, I'll hit you back. All right? So I'm just saying, I'm being honest with you. I'm not perfect. I have flaws, all right? I'm just telling you, I'm not at the turn your other cheek level yet. Maybe in the moment, you know, because I haven't had that moment in a long time, not since I was probably like 15 fighting with my brothers. And back then, I was pretty ruthless with my brothers. I've shared before, I used to have anger problems. The quickest thing that I could get my hands on was what I was going to use to put a hurting on my brothers. If it was a baseball bat, so be it. If it was a piece of firewood stacked, so be it. If it was a rock, so I'm not, you know, and all of those examples I've actually done. I've actually thrown a piece of firewood at my brother. It hit him right square in the back of the head as he was running from me, dropped him like a brick. I've taken a baseball bat, hit my brothers with it. I'm not joking, I used to have issues, and the Lord has since delivered me from those anger problems, but I used to be an angry little man. All right? Now, so maybe in that sense, the Lord is working on me in this area, and one day, if someone were to hit me in the face, I would just be like, here, take the other side too. You know, I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit would give me the grace in that moment, but if it's like, I've had a long day, I'm hungry, and so forth, and you come up and hit me, I don't know. I'm probably just going to hit you back. I'm just being honest. But I'm not saying that's what you should do. You should just turn the other cheek. You're probably holier than me, so just turn the other cheek. All right, verse 27, but I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Now, this isn't easy to do. You ever love someone who hated you? And, you know, there's different ways of doing this. And one example that I remember with my wife, because maybe the reason I remember this is because my wife always, sometimes she remembers things better than I do, and she points out, like, remember when you did that, or remember when we did this? And one of those instances is when we went to Time Warner Cable to return some equipment for them, and this lady that was working there, for no reason, like, we just walked up, like, we'd waited in line, smiling, whatever, just straight nasty to us. for no reason. I mean, like, it's not like we came in and we were like glaring at her. We didn't flip her the bird. We didn't say, you know, you're ugly. We didn't insult her. We didn't do nothing. We just walked up and she's just being mean to us. Do you remember what I said? Do you remember? I'm trying to remember the exact thing that I said. Oh, I think I said something to the effect of, I'm so sorry. Did we do something that offended you? Just like, you know, like I said, hi, how are you? You know, we're just here to return this and she's being rude. I'm so sorry. Did we do something that, and she just like, it just like snapped her out of it. Just like, huh, I'm being a complete turd to these customers for no reason. So maybe I should just change my attitude. And no joke, for the rest of that transaction, she was one of the sweetest, nicest ladies that's ever helped us. And so, you know, sometimes, and this is, you know, I think it's in Proverbs where it says that a soft response turns away wrath. Sometimes the best thing to do is when you got haters, when there's people that hate you, when people are being nasty to you, is just be so kind to them. Just be nice to them. It'll do one of two things. It'll either make them nice back to you, because like the lady at Time Warner just realized she was being an idiot, or they'll just leave you alone. They'll be like, there is seriously something wrong with this person, and I don't even want to be around them. They're way too happy for me. I can't be around that. So, but it's always going to work to your benefit. So when people are hating you, when people are rude to you, do the opposite to them and just love them. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Have you ever been spitefully used? Have you ever had someone take advantage of you? I was trying to think of an example in my life where that was the case, and I really couldn't think of it. I can't think of an example where someone was really trying to take advantage of me, and maybe part of that is like, the Lord has just protected me from that. But I was trying to put myself in somebody's shoes where someone has really taken advantage of them. And, you know, my wife has had plenty of people take advantage of her in her life before she got saved. And then after she got saved, and there was instances where she could have taken legal action against people, but rather she was like, no, I'm just going to move on. And, you know, one example is one of her previous relationships, before she was ever even saved, had physically abused her, and then he would do these things to her so to get her not to leave. One of the things that he did was he took her credit card and spent like $7,000 on the credit card and then said, if you leave, I'm not paying this back. Just crazy stuff. And when I married Julia, she still had, I think, $5,000 or $6,000 worth of credit card debt from that previous relationship. And, you know, we probably could have done stuff. We probably could have, like, gone to court and like, done a whole bunch of stuff to be able to, you know, clear this. But we didn't. We just decided, you know what, we're just going to pay this debt off and move on. A debt that really had nothing to do with Julia, other than the fact that she was in a relationship with a crazy person. But sometimes the best thing to do, you'll be more peaceful if you just bless people that are persecuting you. You know, if you get somebody back, have you ever been in a fight with somebody, an argument, a duel, something, and you're like, man, I'm going to get them back. And you do. You know, you get them back good. You know what I mean? Do you really feel better afterwards? You never do, right? I mean, like those times where I'd be in fights with my brothers, and I don't know why these examples are coming to my mind, like they might win the battle, right? But I'm determined I'm going to win the war. You know, I'm the littlest brother, and you might have knocked me down and hit me harder, but there's going to be a time when you're sleeping and I'll be awake. There's going to be a time when you're not looking, you're coming around the corner, and I'll be waiting for you. So, I mean, there's been plenty of those examples. And I mean, like when my brother and I, we used to prank each other when we lived in Bible school together. And it got bad at the place that we lived because my brother would do something to me and I'd be like, oh, you know, that's fine, no problem, act all nice. But I knew I was coming back with something much worse. One time my brother, he just did like two or three loads of laundry, washed it all, had it all cleaned and it was all on his bed, and he'd begun folding it and put it away. He went out of his room. I took my can of shaving cream, went in there, and covered the entire bed with shaving cream, and I was like, don't mess with me. And then I forget what he did back to me, but the next morning, I went out and emptied an entire big jug of yogurt all over his windshield, all over the hood of his truck. Like, I'm telling you. And here's the thing. Anytime I did those things, as much as you feel like, yeah, I got you back, and those were kind of joking examples, but you never actually feel good about yourself. You're like, yeah, I probably crossed the line there. And I'm telling you, we would get into a fight over it. I mean, we're in Bible school, but we're still brothers, so we're still going to fight about it. And we would duke it out or whatever, but, you know, I mean, we love each other today. But I'm just saying, like, you know, when you get somebody back that's been, you know, hurting you or doing something, you don't actually feel better about it. So the thing to do is just recognize that. So when somebody's messing with you, someone's ticking you off, you just do something nice to them. You might as well just take the shortcut, which it really is, because if you get them back, you say something mean to them, you're then going to have to apologize for it, you're going to have to buy your wife flowers because you were rude to her, you're going to have to take her out on a special date. The shortcut to being happy is just be nice in the moment, even when you don't want to be nice, right? All right, so then he says here in verse 30, give to everyone who asks you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Now, I don't like this scripture, but Jesus makes it all better here in a minute. But when you just read that, see, this is why it's important that when we're reading the word that we actually read the whole context of the scripture, because someone might read that one verse and then that's their MO, that's their thing, that's the way they operate. Anytime somebody, you know, asks you for something, just give them all you got, and you're always going to be broke, because as a Christian, whenever someone asks you for something, you have to give them whatever they want. If they ask you for, you know, a shirt, give them your coat too, that, and you just have to give them everything and never expect anything back, so you're always going to be poor. If you were to just read that portion without going on in the scriptures, you would think, man, Christianity sucks, I don't want to do that. But he goes on, and just as you want men to do to you, also do to them likewise. Now, from that previous statement I was just making, I'm going to come back to there, but we're going to take another rabbit trail real quick on this verse. You know, Jesus, he's like talking about multiple topics here at once, and so it's kind of like you got to bounce in and out of subjects. But here, he's really giving, this is what we call the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you want done unto you. And that is so true. You know, my wife and I, we have a perfect example of this that happened yesterday. We went to Target yesterday and we bought some things. We're buying things for the church, and we had a cart full of stuff, just decoration stuff. And then we had this carpet. And there's, if you look in the kids' church tonight, there's a new carpet, rug, whatever you want to call it, downstairs. And we bought that and we had it underneath the cart. And we cashed out, we paid for everything, and then we pushed our cart out to the car, and when we got to the car, I loaded in all the stuff, and I loaded in the carpet, and I was the one who paid, and as I was loading everything, and I looked at the carpet, and I just started thinking, I'm like, the amount that we just paid for everything was not right. It should have been much more. And then I realized, oh, we forgot that the carpet was underneath and we never had it paid for. And so we're like, well, what do we do? I mean, to be honest, it's their mistake. They screwed up. We got the carpet for free. That's the favor of God on your life. We walked out with the carpet. No one tried to stop us. No one said, like, hey, that's our carpet. You didn't pay for it. No, we got it fair and square out of the building. Nothing, you know, we didn't do it intentionally to wrong somebody. We didn't, like, try and steal from someone. It was just a pure incidental accident that happened. And then, so what ended up happening is I'm like, no, we're gonna pay for this thing. So I took off the little tag so I could go in and pay for it. And when I went in, we had a bag there of stuff that we had paid for, but then actually forgot to take with us. It was like pillows and stuff. So I was like, oh, it's kind of like a fair trade, even though they got a much better end of the deal. Anyway, we go in and they gave us the stuff, but like, you know, then we were talking about this on the way back, and we're like, well, you know, I mean, we did the right thing because we went in and we paid for the thing, even though, like, technically it was their fault, it was their mistake. But they didn't come running out to us with, I mean, the lady had the bag of stuff sitting there. And I mean, like, we had Zara, we have a cart full of stuff, we're slowly walking out to the car. It would have been so easy for that person, that lady, just to walk out with us and say, hey, here's your bag of stuff, right? So we were talking about this and we're like, you know what, here's the thing. Whether someone else does the right thing to us or not, that doesn't give us justification to do the wrong thing to them. And then here's the other thing. You know, we pastor the church here and we have sometimes products for sale. And what if 10 years from now we have a cafe and we have a book table and we have t-shirts and we have different merchandise for sale? If someone came in and they had a bunch of stuff and we charged them for one of those items, but we just on accident didn't charge them for the rest of the stuff and they walked out, how would I want that person to respond to us? Would I want them to come back in and say, you know what, I'm sorry you guys forgot to charge me? And then it's my decision that I could say, well, you know, most people just would have walked off, so I'm going to give this to you for free. Or I could actually charge them, whatever I want. The decision's mine. But the thing is, I would want someone to do the right thing to me, and everything that I'm doing in life is sowing. So if we would have walked out with that carpet, put it in the car, and like, man, those suckers didn't charge us for that carpet. We just made off with a free carpet. Let's go. You know, I'm sowing that into my future for somebody to then do that to me. And I want people to do to me what I would want them. I'm getting tongue-tied. I want to people to do to me what I would want done, or I would do to people what they, I don't know what, you know what I'm trying to say. It's confusing when you're trying to say it backwards. Try it. But so we were talking about, I want to be treated the way that I would want to be treated. I think that's what I was trying to say. You know, so do the right thing. So you go into work, and you clock in 15 minutes late, but you don't tell, or you just act as if you were there. You know, you have a 8-hour job or whatever. I mean, like, and you're not, like, clocking in on time. Now, different companies have different responsibilities, different ways of doing things. But, like, what are you being paid to do? Are you taking pens from your job and thinking, like, they're just pens, and I can get away with that? You know, at one of my old jobs, it was the greatest thing. They had this thing where you could just order whatever kind of supplies you wanted. I would just do it for fun. I need some more Post-it notes, even though I have a stack of them on my desk. I need, like, more pens. I need pencils. You know, just something to break up the day. Let me go down to the order supply sheet. Just write whatever I want in there. I need another, you know, you get, like, the little the wrist pad to keep your wrist soft while you're, you know, nice and cushioned while you're typing. I need a better one of those. Let me upgrade. You know, I mean, I just, like, you know, I want a new stapler. Go put a stapler on thing. You know, but, you know, I didn't actually steal that stuff. But, you know, people do that kind of stuff all the time where they take stuff. So how... if you were the boss of your company, how would you want you to be? Do unto others as you would want done to you. It's not just talking about, like, yeah, I don't want people to cuss at me, so I'm not going to cuss at them. How would you want your employee to be for you? How would you want, just in any example of life, the way that you treat people, how do you want to be treated? You know, for me, I suffer persecution of the devil when I'm driving. I get the worst drivers all around me, and it's the devil. I know it is, because there's no other way. It's a supernatural demonic attack against my life to get some person driving 20 miles an hour under the speed limit in front of me. It's the devil persecuting me. And then I get to decide, how am I going to treat this idiot? Am I gonna like drive like right up on their tail and like shine my bright lights behind them? You know, I used to do that plenty of times. And since I've backed off doing that and I actually just treat people nicely, I noticed that people have a tendency to treat me nicer. I don't know if it's coincidence, but you know, when you do the right thing, you're sowing that back into your life. And it's just a principle that works. All right. Now back to what I was talking about before. But if you love those who loved you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. I mean, I'm not going to say much about those scriptures, but sometimes Christians don't even treat each other like Christians. I mean, not here, but there's plenty of places where there's strife, where there's gossip, where there's people backbiting each other and like talking about each other. You know, if you're going to talk about, how would you talk about Jesus, right? So, because that's the way that we're supposed to talk about anybody. Would we accuse Jesus of being a scoundrel? Would we, you know, I mean, would we call him names? Would we do that? That's the way that we're supposed to talk. And I know, I just called those drivers a bunch of idiots. Lord, I repent for calling those drivers idiots, but Lord, you judge them, all right? Okay. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners lend to receive as much back. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. Now, let me just say this right here. Just slip this in. People, there's plenty of Christians that are totally against debt, and they say that debt is like totally to be in debt is sin, because the Bible says that you should lend to many and not borrow. But Jesus right here said that we're to lend. And if you're to lend to someone, well, that means you're putting them in debt, right? I'm just saying, like, that was for free. You'll get that later if you think about it. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping nothing from them in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High God, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. He's saying here, when people want things from you, when they're asking you for your shirt, give them your coat. Also, when there's people that aren't treating you well, treat them nicely. It doesn't make any sense. I really, like I said, I don't like these scriptures. But understand what he's talking about here. Everything that he's talking about is sowing. The way that we treat other people is the way that eventually we'll be treated by other people. The way that we give to other people is the way that we're going to receive. All right, so verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and it will be forgiven. I'll come back to that verse in a second. Verse 38 is where it gets good, all right? This is what I wanted to get to, and that's why I was going quick. Verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now let's go back to verse 30. All right, go up to verse 30. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Go back down to verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Go back to verse 30. Give to everyone who asks of you. Go back to verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. So remember how I said verse 30 sucks? Right? Do you see how 38 made it so much better? Because if you just read verse 30, give to everyone who asks of you, that's a tall order. That's like, man, Jesus, this Christianity thing just got a whole lot tougher. Anytime somebody wants something from me, I'm supposed to give them that and more and not expect anything back? Why? Because Jesus said in verse 38, by the same measure that you use to give, it's going to come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. So he's not saying that you just give everything that you have and you're never going to, you know, receive. No, he's saying that as children of God, we can give to anyone whatever we have because we know that verse 30 without verse 38 just sucks. But with verse 38, verse 30 becomes a blessing because by the same measure that I use to give out is the same measure that I'll receive by. So if people are asking me of things, even if they're not, if people want to borrow from me, I'm going to give to them and not expect anything back. If people want, if it's my enemy, I'm going to love him and not just because I want something back, but because I know that the same measure that I use to give out is what is going to be measured back to me. So this is what he's talking about. All this from verse 27 down, he's talking about sowing. Now let's read verse 38 in the Amplified Bible. This is, Julia, why I had stolen the Bible that you always use, because I needed the Amplified. Give and gifts will be given to you. Now, Christians, we, not anybody here, but in general, like to think that nothing is material when it talks about being blessed. That the blessing of God is all just spiritual. That when you become a Christian, you can be, when you're blessed, that just means that you're happy. And sometimes some things in the Amplified Bible actually don't like the way it says things, and it doesn't always actually add truth to it. Sometimes it just makes it a little far-fetched, because when it says blessed, it says happy, fortunate, to be envied, which is part of the blessing, but it's not the whole thing. Because here it says that give and gifts will be given to you. Give and gifts will be given. Who here likes to get gifts? I mean, even if it's not your love language, even, you know, if you don't really care about, like, nice stuff, if somebody, I guarantee there's something in this world that you like, that when someone, you know, maybe for you it's not a new car, it's not a new shirt, maybe it's a cup of coffee, maybe, I don't know, but there's something that when someone gives it to you, that you would actually be like, wow, this is fantastic. So here's the thing. Jesus said, give and gifts will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag. For with the measure that you deal out with on others, it will be measured back to you. So all of this stuff about Jesus just saying, like, you know, we're Christian, we're in the kingdom of God, so whatever people want from us, just give it to them. It sounds like, man, that just doesn't, I don't want to do that. I like my things. Jesus, why, if they're asking for me for my stuff, why would you tell me that I should give that to them? Because with the measure that I use to give out, if I give out generously, I'm going to expect back God to bless me generously. But if when people do this and they need my help and I'm just like, no, we're not going to help you, then how could I expect God to bless me? Right? So this is really talking about prosperity, and we're blessed to be a blessing. We give out generously because God is going to return the favor back to us. Now, real quick, let's go back to verse 37, like I said. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now, this is a whole sermon in that one verse. Many people have problems in their life because they're judging others, because they're condemning others, and because they're not forgiving others. Unforgiveness does not harm the other person. You think that you're getting back at somebody when you're not forgiving to them and you're holding on to whatever it is that they did. You know, this person wronged me. Whether they actually wronged you or not, whether you created it in your mind or not, and you choose not to forgive that person, it hinders you. It doesn't hinder that person. It doesn't make that person's life any worse. It makes your life worse. You don't have peace anymore. You can't stop thinking about them. You're just thinking about how hurt you are and how wrong you've been done. But when you forgive that person, even if you've been done wrong, it's just like peace. You just feel peaceful. Yeah, they hurt me. They did something against me. But I'm just going to forgive them and love them anyway. And you feel good. And Jesus said that if we won't forgive others, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. So we better make sure that we're forgiving others. We better make sure that we're not condemning others. Now, in Christianity, this, for whatever reason, I think becomes a problem. Even in Bible school, I was always like measuring up myself to everyone else. I was always comparing myself. Look, guys, we like to do this at the gym. We go to work out, and like we're always sizing up the guy next to us on the bench next to us. Like, oh yeah, you're lifting 45. Yeah, that's nothing. I'm lifting 60. You know, like we do. I mean, like, and it's just like this macho thing. But then, like in Christianity, many people are no different. Like, oh, did you hear so and so cussing? You know, and they come to church. Man, they're in trouble. You know, and we're just talking about them so that we can pray for them, right? We're just so holy that we just need to talk about everybody's problems so that we can pray for them. Like people, I did this. I was so guilty of this. Like in Bible school, I would just always like, you know what was going on with other people, find out like someone broke a rule here or there. And then in my mind, I was putting myself above them. Like, yeah, they broke the rule. So, you know, they're a little beneath me spiritually. And I'm in Bible school doing this. How does that even make sense? Where you're being taught the Word of God every day, where you're in a Holy Ghost session every day, where the Lord can minister to you. So There's one scripture that we have to read, and then we'll close. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And I wanted to actually read several scriptures here. Let's just start in verse 17. What I need to get to is verse 20, and we're going to talk about... Wait a second. We're going to start in verse 25, and we're going to get to 27. 27 is what I need to talk about. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, it doesn't say it in this version. Does anyone have the version where it says, don't give an opportunity to the devil? In verse 27? Nobody has opportunity? Huh? Foothold? Let me see what this one says. No, I am looking for the word opportunity, and I know it's in there because I read it before. All right. Verse 27 in the Amplified says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Give no opportunity to him. He's talking about the way that we're treating other people. And then he says, give no opportunity to the devil. You see, that's the problem. When we're treating people wrong, when we're doing the wrong thing, we're not harming others. We end up harming ourselves. How? Because we're giving an opportunity to the devil. What does that mean? We're opening a door to the devil to let the attack in. The reason that Christians suffer the attack of the enemy is because we open doors to the attack of the devil. Not because what Jesus did on Calvary's cross wasn't good enough. Not because that the Jesus' name doesn't carry enough power and authority. Not because you're not filled up enough with the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, it's because we're giving the devil an opportunity to work in our life. Whether it's our thoughts in our mind, whether it's actions that we're taking to other people, whether it's the way we're talking about other people, whether we're lying about other people, whether whatever it is that we're doing, we think that this is just me and my life. It's between me and them. This isn't between me and God. When we do something wrong, we're giving an opportunity to the devil. And the word there says, don't give place to the devil. Which implies that I can give place to the devil. I can give an opportunity to the devil. I can give the devil a foothold in my life, right? So if he's saying don't give it, it implies that I can give it. Which means that I better make sure that I'm not giving it. Which is why our lifestyle is so important. Which is why these verses of what Jesus is talking about forgiving others, not condemning others, not judging others, the way we treat others, the way we talk about others, the way that we're supposed to love others, as treat other people as we want to be treated. He's telling us that for your benefit, not for the benefit just of the other person. You think that I'm going to love this person because that's what Jesus told me to do, and it's going to bless that person even though they're being a jerk to me. It's not just for them. It's for you. Because when you enter into that sin, when you start treating people wrongly, you're giving the devil a foothold, you're giving the devil an opportunity, you're giving the devil a chance to come in with some sort of harm to your life. We think, like I said, I used to think like there's going to be a moment, Tim or Phil, that you're not waiting for me, but I'll be awake. I'll be there with a 2x4. I'll be there with a baseball bat. I'll have a brick. I'll have something, and I'm going to mess you up. And I thought that I was going to get them back. But really what I was doing was I was giving a foothold of the devil, the foothold to the devil in my life with an anger issue in my life. And it really messed me up. I had problems with that for a long time. You know, I used to walk in unforgiveness towards my dad. You know, you talk to him now, and he's the sweetest, nicest man you've ever met, but there's been plenty of years where he was a horrible person. No, I'm just kidding. No, but when I was a teenager, I knew everything better than him. You know, that's what teenagers sometimes do. I'm not saying all teenagers do that because my teenager won't. But there's sometimes, I'm going to spank that right out of her. But but some teenagers, you know, they like myself, I thought, you know, I knew everything better than my dad. Anytime my dad had a response, it would, my dad and I, we used to not be able to communicate with each other without getting without remaining under a certain decibel. We were always shouting at each other. We could start out a peaceful conversation within 30 seconds, we're like shouting at each other. And this went on for years. And I had unforgiveness, I held a grudge, I did not get along with my dad, and I went, and this was even after being a Christian, after growing up in a Christian home, after having an encounter with the Holy Spirit, all of that stuff. You see, just because you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you attend church does not mean that you give God automatically opportunity to work things out. There are things that you have to allow God into your life and work these things out. So I go to Bible school and I'm down there, and after having a few conversations about it with some people talking about, like, you know, my dad and I, we don't really get along so well, I realized that I was holding grudges, unforgiveness, and that I was the one in the wrong. Even though I felt like he was treating me wrongly, he was doing this wrong. You see, that's the thing. We think that when we're unforgiving someone, when someone's done us wrong, that we have a right not to forgive them, that we have, like, that we're going to get them back by not forgiving them. What you're doing is allowing a foothold for the devil to come into your life and bring destruction. And so, towards the end of my first year of Bible school, the second semester, I called back home and I just apologized to my dad for everything, for my wrongdoing, for my behaviors that I had done wrong. I didn't ask him to forgive, you know, say sorry for anything. He didn't have to. He's my dad. You know, he changed my poopy diapers when I was a kid. He doesn't owe me anything. I think you did. Well, I mean, you did something for me, you know. But I'm just saying, like, he doesn't owe me anything. But I called home and said sorry. And when I did, it's just like, you know, when you get saved and you feel that burden coming off of you and you get set free from something, when you finally allow God to work in your life and you begin to forgive others, it removes the foothold of the devil in your life. And it's like that burden just gets lifted off your life. So Jesus said, don't judge others, don't condemn others, forgive others. Amen? Like I said, that one verse is a sermon in and of itself. There's so much in here, but that's it for tonight.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.